Morning. I've had so much confirmation for this message this morning. I left the session early because they were prophesying my whole message. So I left in time so that I didn't have to listen to my message twice this morning. And this very clip this morning has been so wonderful and encouraging. Now, if you'll remember that last week, we had this amazing message that Yanni preached from James, that we should rather be doers of the word instead of just hearers of the word. And he used this lovely formula of saying information plus application equals transformation. Unless we apply the word to our lives or what the Holy Spirit tells us, we will never grow spiritually into maturity to be like Jesus. Now, Yanni brought this first part of a series of three. That was number one. I'm going to do number 1B this morning. The title of our message is Sowing in Famine. Now, this clip really touched my heart. I want to give you a correct perspective of prosperity. I want you to listen carefully to all the scriptures, and I want you to jot them down. I'm also going to discuss some keys to deliverance from financial bondage. My brothers and sisters, primarily, remember, he does not want you to live in prosperity so that you can spend it all on your lust. Our priorities are so wrong. We want more things. But God wants to develop your faith so that we can please Him. If you please Him, He will give you all these other things. We are not developing our faith so we can get a better car or a bigger home, but so that we can please our God. And when we do that, all these other things will be added unto us. I want you to remember this clearly. The blessings of God are not to be pursued, but received. God says to Abraham, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. He doesn't say to Abraham, go and chase after these blessings. He says, they will overtake you. We are following God. And the blessings are trying to catch up with us. But if you get your eyes on the provision, you take your eyes off the provider. My brothers and sisters, let us put God first in our lives, and then He will exalt you. He wants us financially free in order to fulfill His plan for the earth. But He wants to get you to a place where everything you possess is available to Him. That everything that we possess is available to Him. Do not tie up your money by going into debt unless you specifically hear from God. Now, my text this morning is from Job. I want you all to open your Bibles. I don't hear much rustling of the papers, do I? Job 36. Now, generally speaking, God's people are suffering financially because of three major reasons. First one, disobedience. Secondly, rebellion. And thirdly, lethargy. What's lethargy? How do you pronounce it? Yeah, lethargy. Now, we just sang this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But listen carefully. What does John 15, verse 14 say? It says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We sing it because it's a nice song. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves or servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I'm calling you friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, Job 36, verse 11, he says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Disobedience always put people in bondage. When they were obedient, they were the head and not the tail. They were above and not below. But disobedience leads to bondage. When you know what God's word says and you don't do it, it is disobedience. And you come into bondage. It is not God's will, for then Satan takes you into captivity. Secondly, if you disobey and you know the truth and still refuse to repent, that's rebellion. And lethargy, that's plain lazy. You can apply the words of God to your life, or you don't have to do it. You can leave it. But if you do not act on the word of God, you cannot succeed. Too lazy. Just want to listen and accumulate knowledge. And as we heard last Sunday, that leads to spiritual obesity. This geestelijke vetsig. Many people know that the Bible teaches tithing, yet they won't tithe. Disobedient. It is your own fault that you are not financially free. It is for today. Tithing was introduced long before the law, and we know we are not under the law if we tithe. You can say, I don't believe it's for today. You can believe anything you want to. Listen carefully. It is your privilege to tithe. Tithing is not a debt that you owe, but it is a seed that you sow. I do not tithe because it is demanded of me, but because it pleases my Father in heaven. And I want to honor him with my substance. My brothers and sisters, do we really think or believe that God needs my money? Just go and read Revelation. My goodness. The streets are paved with gold. The 12 gates are made out of solid pearl. All the gold and the silver on this earth belongs to him. All the oil under the earth, BP and Shell thinks it belongs to them. They're crazy. One day they will have to give an account of their stewardship, what they did with God's oil. He says, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Do you really think he needs my money? But I want to honor him with my substance. My brothers and sisters, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If I am in error, I want somebody to correct me. It's only fools who refuse rebuke, says the Bible. Verse 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Every day you live in bondage is a day you were disobedient. Disobedience robs me of prosperity and pleasure. Listen to Luke 6, verse 38. That's the cardinal law of God. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. My brothers and sisters, God is a giver. God took that law and he gave his only son. And he got a return, pressed down, shaken together, and running over us, a whole family. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Now listen carefully. Giving is the essence of life. Many people have the idea that life is centered around getting or receiving. No. Your life does not consist of the things that you possess. The essence of life is giving. Listen, only what you have given to God is the deposit that you have made in the bank of heaven. The greatest economic system on the face of this earth is the kingdom of God economics. God has created a universe where it is impossible to receive without first giving. Let me give you an example. You go and buy a shirt or a dress, let's say at Woolies or Peps. You first tender your currency and then you receive your shirt or your dress. But if you receive without giving, that is called shoplifting. This winkeldiefstal. Many Christians are spiritual shoplifters. They hear, they receive the word of God, their marriages are restored, their finances are saved, their children are revived, their spirits are being nourished, but they have never given anything to help the gospel reach the ends of the earth. See yourself, if you are the one, see yourself as a spiritual shoplifter. You have been receiving without giving. My brothers and sisters, the reason you are on this planet is not just to see how much you can acquire or accumulate before you die, but to see how much of yourself you can give away to humanity before the day that you meet the Lord Jesus. Not just giving money, giving love, giving your time, friendship, sharing joy, happiness, hospitality. You are an instrument of God's power. You are a carrier of the miraculous ability of God. We should be looking for someone to give something to every moment of our lives. You give and it will be given to you. Mark 10, verse 29 and 30 says, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children for my sake and the gospel's, verse 30, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the age to come eternal life. Jesus told his disciples, but you shall receive 100-fold. Jesus said once again, the essence of living is giving. He is teaching us that if we are willing to give our all for him and the gospel's sake, he will in turn multiply it 100-fold in this life. How many of you know that you ought to support the gospel? If you don't, you are disobedient. Are you convinced that tithing is a biblical principle? If not, you are disobedient. And you will not spend your years in prosperity and in pleasure. If his laws are not obeyed, if we do not apply this word to our lives in a practical way, and his laws have just been pushed aside, it is not pleasing to him. For example, we hear about tithing. So we say, okay, let's tithe and let's put something in the offering basket. Because the pastor preached from Malachi 3 and he said that God would open the windows of heaven and the blessings will fall upon us. So you wait for the next week and no windows are opening for you. And there are no blessings falling on you. Next Sunday comes, no windows. And in the meantime, you lost your job. So you quit tithing. Disobedience. My brothers and sisters, it is about consistency. Consistency. We must realize, listen carefully, we must realize the Word of God is not something that we just play with or try and see if it works. But it is something you live 24 hours per day, every day of your life. And if you don't get to the point where this is life, forget it. You will never receive the fullness of the promise. Shall I repeat it for those with hearing aids? All right. We must realize the Word of God is not something we play with or try and see if it works. But it is something you live 24 hours a day, every day of your life. My brothers and sisters, we have been disobedient in our tithing, and also where meditation on God's Word is concerned. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." Man, during the week, I attended the cell meeting. And I haven't got a time this morning because I didn't prepare her. I want you, one day, when we have a testimony service again, that Tracy will share a testimony. Not following the counsel of the ungodly, but following God's Word. Psalm 1, verse 1. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And most of us still walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We are disobedient. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and whatever he does shall prosper. If we are not prosperous in whatever we do, it is because we are disobedient, walking in the world's ways and counsel instead of God's counsel. Think, I do not have to read the Word today. I don't have to go to church meeting. Just stay at home and listen to a CD and sleep. Lazy. If you don't assemble yourselves with believers, you are disobedient. I don't have to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You're disobedient. I'm not going to be prayed for to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Disobedient. Jesus said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Be filled." Some people say, "I was born in poverty. It was a lot of my parents, my grandparents, they always lived in poverty." Well, my advice to you is get born again. My brother says this. One of the things you are redeemed from is poverty. He says, if you serve and obey, you'll spend your days in prosperity. But you don't understand. Our nation is a poverty nation. Well, if you obey, you'll be the first one to get delivered in that nation. Our bondage, financially, physically, and mentally, is a result of our disobedience. Job 36, verse 12. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. You read Ephesians, the end of Ephesians 5, Paul addresses husbands and wives' relationships. Ephesians 6, he says, children, obey your parents, your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life on this earth. Now, when my children were disobedient, it was not well with them. They were chastised in the flesh. Because the Bible says, he who spares the rod hates his child. My children know that I love them. But when they were not obedient, it was not well with them. I can so very vividly remember when I was disobedient and my mom usually did the punishing. And then she would say, my son, this hurts me more than you. But what astounded me was I was doing the crying all by myself. Children, obey your parents. Is God our Father? We are his children, and we are to obey our Father. Now, there is an attitude to obedience. God expects me to obey just as I expect my children to obey. Is there something more uglier than a disobedient child? God expects us to obey him the same way we expect our children to obey us. For instance, what would you do if God says to you, my child, I want you to go next door to that house and lay your hands on that sick woman. But Lord, even my neighbors think that I'm crazy. I'm a nutcase. Go, she is sick. But Lord, what if nothing happens? Go and lay your hands on her. See, there's an attitude in obedience. The Living Bible puts it so beautifully. It says, do it quickly and quietly. In the Living Bible, Paul writes to Timothy and says, an elder must have his children in subjection in all gravity. In other words, they must obey quickly and quietly. That is the attitude in obedience. Obey without hesitation or lying or trying to talk God out of what he wants to do. And if we serve and obey quickly and quietly, we will spend our years in prosperity and pleasure. The other day I read in a Christian magazine, you all know Reinhard Bonnke, a great evangelist. He started his ministry in South Africa. Now Reinhard is about 2 or 3 years older than I, so he's about 47 now. Eh? So now he's getting a bit too old, and he's raising up a young man by the name of Daniel Kolenda to take over from him. And they had an interview with Daniel Kolenda. They said to him, what is the outstanding characteristic in Bonnke's life? Without hesitation, he said, his immediate obedience to the word of God and to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is his success in his Christian life. But we hesitate. We argue. We are disobedient, and every day we remain disobedient, not willing to obey God quickly and quietly. That is one day of prosperity we have robbed ourselves of. Now, most of the time we rob ourselves of the blessing God has for us because we keep telling God he does not know what he is doing by not obeying him. The reason the body of Christ has suffered financially and spiritually and mentally and socially is because of disobedience. It is time to become obedient and do whatever he tells us to do. Now, I want to read to you a piece out of Psalm 107. He says, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Now, my brothers and sisters, when God's people are in bondage as a whole, it takes divine intervention to get them out of it. Verse 11, it says, rebellion was against the word of God and rejection against his instructions. Disobedience brings affliction. And for the third time, in verses 6, 13 and 19, they cried out to the Lord. And the cure for bondage is repentance. They cried unto the Lord. How did he deliver them? Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word, and if we will receive his word, we will come out of bondage. If not, there is nothing, nothing that God can do for us. So often, when you counsel people and you quote the word, they say, we know it all. We know it all. They know it all, but it doesn't change their lives this much. Because they never apply all they know to their lives. Not one single bit. So they've got this knowledge. They are spiritually obese, but their lives are still in a mess. Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He sends his word. He sends his word also through a messenger. Moses was a messenger. God said to him, if they listen to you, they will come out of their bondage. My brothers and sisters, when you are in bondage, then you don't have any peace. When you can't pay your bills, you don't have any peace. No job, no peace, no food. But if you hearken to the words of the Lord, you will have peace like a river. When you have enough to meet the need, it is peaceful. Many men have no peace, and they will do almost anything. The reason a lot of men are in prison or committing suicide, they had no peace. Christian families, husbands lying awake all night, how are we going to meet our needs? Worry, worry. Jesus said, take no thought of your life or what you wear and eat or drink. Worry is not a part of Christian life, my brothers and sisters. No more worry, because I'm persuaded that God will do what he promised if I obey. If I obey. That reminds me of Abby and Rebecca. Abby owed the bank millions. And D-Day was Monday. He had to pay. So the previous night, he was up and down, pacing up and down while Rebecca was sleeping. So eventually she got tired of this. She says, Abby, please come back to bed. He says, how will I meet my deadline tomorrow? She says, you won't be able to meet it. Now get on the phone, phone the bank manager, let him worry, and you come back to sleep. My brothers and sisters, we should not have those worries. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If some people go around confessing these blessings, but refuse to obey God to get them, they will not come by just confessing. If you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God, you say to me, those are just commandments. That is Old Testament talk. Well, what about the New Testament command? which we break all the time. Love one another. People can't understand why they are in bondage all the time. They won't forgive. They are full of bitterness and they seek revenge. Faith works by love. I'm going to move this mountain by faith, and yet you live in strife with your wife. God will not hear your prayers. That mountain will not move. Or living in strife with the body of Christ, with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Of course, it is sometimes hard to love some people. And I believe that a poor pastor has to love some of his sheep by faith. But brothers and sisters, we must always strive to walk in love. Because if you do not do that, you are disobedient. Forgive and avoid strife at any cost. Charismatics are so free. And they have the liberty to serve their flesh. The only stubborn creation that has the nerve to disobey God is man. God commanded the light to shine and darkness to flee, and it obeyed. Jesus commanded the waves and the wind to be calm, and they obeyed. God commanded the ravens to sustain the prophet. The ravens don't argue. When Jesus talks to the fish, go and get Peter the temple tax money, they don't argue, they obey. Even mules are known for their stubbornness. The prophet of God, would not preach, so God anointed this mule and it preached. The fish, the mule, the darkness, the wind, the waves, they do not argue with God. Even sickness and blindness do not argue. But man, he will. And that's the reason men are not blessed. But the moment they decide to obey God, they will spend their days in prosperity. He will command his blessings upon them. My brothers and sisters, time is short. Jesus is coming soon. Obey so we can come to the place where we should be. Coming to my last part, Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land. This world is hurting. Financial systems are in chaos. Everywhere they are crumbling. Governments are forever trying to find a way to stay out of deficit. Just think of the debt that our own country has accrued. Billions. End times. Obey and he will bless and supply. Carnal or natural man will never find a way to deliverance. It needs the supernatural power of God to bring about deliverance. We should not be walking around begging, but expecting. There is a famine in the land today. We follow the same trend as a world where financial bondage is concerned because of disobedience. Stop listening to what the world tells you about your finances. Let God talk to you about finances. Genesis 26, verse 2. Isaac is in famine. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you." Isaac has a choice. Argue with God or obey. Lord, this won't work. Remember, God is much smarter than what we are. When he tells you to do something, he knows best. God did not instruct Isaac to run from the famine. He instructed him to face the famine head on. And he said, "I will deliver you." My brothers and sisters, nothing can stop us if we obey God. Inflation, recession, depression, hunger can't stop it. The righteous are never forsaken, and they will never beg bread. We are the body of Christ. God told Isaac how to get delivered out of famine. Verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Doesn't it sound like the movie Faith Like Potatoes? When it's dry, bone dry, you don't plant. Where there is famine, you don't sow. It is ridiculous for the natural man that you, if you don't have enough, to keep giving out. Amen. That's stupid. The natural man will think we are foolish to sow in famine. But God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Natural man says, if you don't have enough, hold on to what you have. Don't let anybody get it. God said to Isaac, sow, give in famine. God said, I'm going to teach you how to give your way out of famine. That verse 12, same year, hundredfold he reaped. Sow in famine and God will command a blessing. My brothers and sisters, the last thing you do in famine is to hold on what you have got. You will die with it. A spirit of fear comes upon the body of Christ when things start looking bad and you do not have enough. This is all I've left. This is my security. Remember when I gave feedback on our trip to Ukraine? I told you of this one precious lesson that the Lord told us. We were at a very poor church, and the collection plate came around. Now, all I had in my pocket, this was now 2-3 days before we had to fly back to Franschhoek, to South Africa. And the next morning, we were to catch the train back to the city. From there, we would fly to South Africa. And all I had in my pocket was a 200 hryvnia note, 200 rand, and a 1 hryvnia note, 1 rand. Now it's time for collection. And I was reasoning by myself. I said, Lord, when we get to Kiev, to the capital, I will need 50 hryvnia from the station to my apartment. And then 150 hryvnia from my apartment to the airport. So I have enough. I cannot give, so I'll give the 1 rand. So I took out the 1 rand. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit starts speaking. Says, you've testified that this was the most fruitful and wonderful time you've ever had in the Ukraine. Are you going to give me a tip? So I put the 1 rand back. I took the 200 out. Because at that moment, I had changed my allegiance from God to Mammon. This is all I have. I put in the 200 hryvnia. So that evening we went back to our apartment where we were staying. The next morning the pastor and his wife, now as I said, this is a poor church. Next morning the pastor and his wife came to say goodbye. Brought a few presents and whatnot and gave us a little envelope for our ministry. So I expected about 50 rand. When it is, I opened up, it was 10,000 rand. You never can outgive God. You never can outgive God, my brothers and sisters. You see, you can't serve God and mammon. That money is not your security. God is. That house, that job, it's not your security. Things which are seen are temporal. Your job can change. But God is eternal, and so is his word. My security is in God. God said to Isaac, don't run to Egypt. Don't compromise. Stay in this land I told you to. Sow in famine. My brothers and sisters, Just listen to this. God's rebuke in Isaiah 50. God says, I am not the reason for your bondage. Proverbs 11:24. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Or, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. We are called to obedience. Obedience is better than speaking in tongues. Prophecy, healing and giving. To obey is better than sacrifice. If you don't obey, the kingdom will be taken from you. Luke 6 verse 30 says, give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask back. Now my question to you, my brothers and sisters. Is your money a tool you use to get what you want out of life? Or is it a tool you use to further the kingdom of God? When you give, you have power over money. But when you hoard, money has power over you. Is your heart in heaven or on earth? The answer is found where your treasure is stored. I want to finish with this. The sister sent us SMS. Something beautiful. It just blew me over. I just want to read parts of it. It says, we are in danger of forgetting that we cannot do what God does. And that God will not do what we can do. We cannot save nor sanctify ourselves. God does that. But God will not give us good habits or character, and he will not force us to walk correctly before him. We have to do all that by ourselves. We must work out our own salvation, which God has worked in us with fear and trembling. That means we must get into the habit of doing things in the initial stage that is difficult to take the initiative. Now listen carefully. Beware of the tendency to ask the way when you know it perfectly well. Beware of the tendency to ask the way if you know it perfectly well. Be determined to act immediately in faith on what God says to you when he speaks. And never reconsider or change your initial decision. If you hesitate when God tells you to do something, you are being careless, spurning the grace in which you stand. Amen. Father God, we all stand before you guilty. Because our trust is in that which we can see or possess, instead of being the faithful, unswerving Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are reminded again that your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, and this morning, you have put your sword in there where we think it's impenetrable. You know our thoughts. You know where we are storing up our treasures. Father, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes to know that we came into this world with nothing, and we are going to leave this world with nothing, except with the souls that we helped to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that if we give our all to you and the sake of the gospel, you will give us all these things that are necessary for us to continue our life on this earth. Father, I pray that you will bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, if I think of this video clip where one of those said, but I want to contribute even in my poverty. Lord, then I realize that this person is giving more than the thousands that we might be giving, because it comes from his heart. Lord, we know that you say you love a cheerful giver. Father, make us, as the Bible correct translation says, hilarious givers. Laughing all the way as we just hand out what God lays in our hearts. We honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.